It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Fox News was first to report the latest Iran ballistic missile test. Now the White House has responded. President Trump's national security advisor, Mike Flynn, said the U.S. would not ignore these apparent violations of U.N. Security Council Resolution 2231, put in place following the nuclear agreement.
The Obama administration failed to respond adequately to Tehran's malign actions, including weapons transfers, support for terrorism, and other violations of international norms. As of today, we are officially putting Iran on notice.
Iran carried out the ballistic missile test Sunday, 140 miles east of Tehran, at a launch site outside Simnan. The missile, known as a Khorram Shahar, is a medium-range missile. U.S. officials tell us it traveled 600 miles before exploding. It failed on the reentry stage. Last night, Fox News reported Iran carried out another secret test December 6. Flynn also holds Iran responsible for a suicide attack Monday by Shiite Houthi rebels targeting a Saudi naval vessel. The White House said neither incident is a violation of the Iran nuclear deal.
Instead of being thankful to the United States in these agreements, Iran is now feeling emboldened.
This is a flagrant violation of a Security Council resolution. I will meet President Trump in Washington soon, and above other issues, I intend to raise with him the renewal of sanctions against Iran, sanctions against the ballistic missiles, and additional sanctions against terror.
A day after the Israeli Prime Minister's warning, the UN Security Council held an emergency meeting. Iran's defense minister admitted today his country tested a missile, but said it has a right to do so. Security Council Resolution 2231, passed days after the nuclear deal, merely called upon but does not compel Iran not to undertake any activity related to ballistic missiles designed to be capable of delivering nuclear weapons, including launches using such ballistic missile technology. That watered-down language, James, pushed by the Russians on behalf of Iran, has come under criticism in the wake of the nuclear deal.
All right, so that was Jennifer Griffin last night on Fox. This is Sandy Rios with you. And I think the main takeaway on that is that that's General Flynn, who was laying down the gauntlet to Iran. General Flynn knows all about the conflict with Iran. He understands clearly that the Iran deal was a disaster for the safety of the world and for this country. So it's a new regime, you know, in Washington. It's interesting to me that General Flynn is under a tremendous pressure. I've said to you, and I will say again, that inside the Trump team, there is a divide on the issue of radical Islam, and there's a war going on. And Michael Flynn is a target of some because of his strong views on what should happen. There are divided voices on that issue. And we're just, those of us that are watching it are praying that the right thing will happen. There have been some really good people appointed to the inside. And we need to pray for this president and pray for his national security team that they can stay strong on this issue. Yesterday in a briefing, it was explained that the Islamic world, meaning those that are the Orthodox, those that embrace Sharia law, which of course is a whole system. It's not about religion. This is about a system that controls how you act and think, and it is superior to adherent Muslims, to any system, including the American constitutional system. But across the globe, the word is that they are viewing the election of Donald Trump as, I think the word that it's being translated, calamity. And Filippini and others are saying that calamity, the term itself, the way the word in Arabic, is a term that means is it's kind of a it's hard to explain because of the cultural differences. And I'm not saying I have great understanding on it. I don't. I'm trying to explain to you what I know. That particular word is sort of a battle cry for jihadists. And we are hearing that the mantra that continues to be repeated now by Sharia adherent world, which is, you know, Iran and Iraq and Syria and, you know, you name anywhere where they embrace Sharia, which is Muslim teaching, that if America stops the refugees, there will be blood. Blood will be shed. And they're saying that all across the globe. In fact, it was interesting, someone observed yesterday that when Donald Trump made his speech, his inauguration speech, he said we would eliminate radical Islam. And there wasn't, nothing was said in response. No statements by CARE, no statements by radical Islamists across the globe. But when he said that he would limit Muslim immigration, oh, now that's when they got upset. And that's when they said, you know, there will be blood. You know, if you do not allow immigration to take place now, this is serious and there will be blood. And it's interesting, the Wall Street Journal came out with a similar theme. If we stop full and free immigration from Muslim countries, it's going to cause death. It's going to cause them to get more angry. And it's not just the Wall Street Journal, it's other outlets, because they seem either willfully blind, to put it Andy McCarthy's way, or just clueless. Because the bottom line is, the Islamists will threaten, if they can't come freely into this country, they will kill us. But if they come freely into this country, they will kill us. So the choice is either or. So I want to move on, because I want to make the point that the Trump administration is shaking things up internationally. The old order is not working right now. Yesterday, the president had a conversation with the Australian Prime Minister. If you read the Washington Post, it's all about, it's just amazing how they write. I wish I had time. I just tell you that they hate Trump and they put everything in the worst possible light. But the issue is, there was supposed to be an hour conversation. After 25 minutes, Donald Trump abruptly ended it. It was about these refugees that President Obama agreed to take in. They are refugees from some of the worst countries on the list. He agreed to take, I think, 1,200, 1,500 of them, and Trump is upset about it. In fact, he tweeted about it. He said, do you believe it? The Obama administration agreed to take thousands of illegal immigrants from Australia. Why? And he says, I will study this dumb deal. It is a dumb deal. Bloomberg talks about it this morning. Bottom line, Australia cut back on refugees under John, who was their conservative prime minister? Can't remember his last name, but he is the one who started this. And as a result of that, they took in zero refugees in 2016. So they're trying to get the rest of the world to take them. And Trump's not happy about that. And he's not happy that President Obama agreed to do that. So now I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. But that's the way it stands today. Greg Palcott had a really interesting report. Listen to the end of it. The end of it made me laugh, actually. Remember that the European Union is a nightmare for European countries. It has been the perpetrator of the most serious kinds of control on free speech, on thought, for trying to force Ireland and all the other countries to embrace abortion, just advancing a social order agenda, not just economically joining the countries of Europe, not doing that at all. Their main goal has, it seems to me, has been to transform the thinking of European nations to erase any trace of cultural identity, of the stories of each country's, and that's why there's a restlessness, and that's why England has balked, and that's why the British people have voted to get out of the EU. So here's Greg's report on the EU and the Trump administration. Let's listen.
Europe is afraid. Less than 2 weeks into the administration of President Donald Trump, and the leader of the European Union is branding longtime close ally, the U.S., a threat.
The change in Washington puts the European Union in a difficult situation, with the new administration seeming to put into question the last 70 years of American foreign policy.
Leaders here point to his encouragement of UK Prime Minister Theresa May about Britain's exit from the EU, as well as criticism by a Trump aide that Germany is undervaluing the euro to exploit the US in trade.
We try to stand our ground in the global market with globally competitive products in fair competition with everybody else.
Add to that Trump's criticism of NATO, his apparent friendliness with Russian President Vladimir Putin, with Russia seen as menacing Ukraine and other Eastern European countries, and the ongoing anger over the executive order on immigration. Europe is still hoping for the best, but fearing the worst.
If this relation blows up, it's going to be extremely painful for everybody, for all sides. So the best is to avoid it.
In fact, though, some politicians here, mostly on the right, have been finding common ground with the president. British member of the European Parliament, Nigel Farage, stood up today and defended Trump amid heckles all around.
Seems to me that actually, with all the anti-Trump rhetoric that is coming from everywhere, actually what we're hearing is the true nature of the European project, which is genuine anti-Americanism.
European leaders are still looking to meet with President Trump, but a White House aide reportedly rebuffed a summit specifically with the European Union. They were said to be told it's not a priority.
I'm sorry. I love that. I could play that tag over and over again. The EU have been tyrants. They have been the ones that have forced the migration from the Middle East into European countries, into Germany, into all of the countries without any, you know, because they've removed the borders and all the protections. They've just left the people of Europe prey to the Islamists. And so, you know, I love that. I should have just had Adam isolate that clip and played it over and over again. It's a new day. Thank you, Lord. It's a new day. Where, you know, I am not saying Donald Trump is like a savior, but for right now, he is an answer to prayer with these things that he's doing. In fact, let me just tell you that in one of his orders on Friday, executive orders, he promised to rescue Christians who are suffering in Islamic countries. The executive order was signed Friday. It gives preference to refugees who belong to a religious minority in their country and have been persecuted for their religion. And of course, the point is that under the Obama administration, hardly any Christians have gotten into this country who have been suffering. They've just had no refuge whatsoever. And so the President Trump is trying to change that. And then, of course, here we go. This is a New York Times article. What happens? Well, so-called Christians are upset because they just don't think that's right. Bishop Joe Vasquez, the chairman of the Committee on Migration for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, said, "We believe in assisting all, regardless of their religious beliefs." Jen Myers of the Church World Services, Director of Policy and Advocacy for the Immigration and Refugee Program, a ministry affiliated with dozens of Christian denominations, called Friday a shameful day. And then, of course, World Relief weighed in the way they have been weighing in. I've long ago lost trust in World Relief. Haven't got time to go into that right now, but we have no evidence that would support a belief that the Obama administration was discriminating against Christian populations, said Scott Arbeiter, the president of World Relief. We do actually have evidence of that, Scott. And so the so-called Christian leaders are complaining that President Trump wants to rectify the situation and give Christians from the Middle East refuge here in this country. So there you go. And then a couple of other really important things. How can I get them in quickly? Let me just say that there is a leaked draft of a religious freedom executive order that's going to be coming out. And according to The Nation, which is a leftist publication, reveals sweeping plans to legalize discrimination. Basically what this is it's called the Government-Wide Initiative to Respect Religious Freedom. Any organization, including closely held for-profit corporations, and protects religious freedom in every walk of life when providing social services, education, healthcare, earning a living, seeking a job, basically protecting people who have moral objections to certain things from being forced to provide goods and services and being punished for their religious beliefs. You can understand why that would be a whole program, and indeed it probably will be. I have to take a break, but when I come back, there's a lot more. I want to do Facebook, email, and open the phone lines today. 888-589-8840, Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.
It is interesting that in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the first and last rays of sunlight fall every day upon its tallest building, the 555-foot Washington Monument. And there on its top, inscribed on the four-sided aluminum capstone, are the Latin words Laos Deo, which means praise be to God. This simple expression of praise reflects America's abiding belief that God has blessed our country with liberty and divine favor. Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman again. We're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, for our spiritual heritage tours in June and September, and we'll see this Washington Monument. That's only one of the many monuments and places we'll see. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will lead the way as we talk about the places, the time, the events, and the people of our early American Christian heritage. For more information, visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. These famous words belong to Shakespeare, and his observation cuts deep. I think if we're honest, there's a version of ourselves we each want the world to see. And all we have to do is look at our Facebook posts to know what that looks like. But there's no fooling God. He knows everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly. You have no secrets from Him. And still, Jesus invites you to come as you are. Lay your burdens on Him, and then He says, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Have you taken Him up on that lately? Get more daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com to request your print edition today.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. A Catholic high school in Youngstown, Ohio is ginning up some controversy over a cotton picking lesson that had some folks saying, "Wait just one cotton picking minute." Students at Cardinal Mooney High School were instructed to pick cotton while listening to spirituals. The point of the exercise was to demonstrate the plight of slaves during the pre-Civil War era. But locals accused the school of insensitivity, which these days is nearly a criminal offense. The school will no longer teach the lesson. Former President George H.W. Bush on the mend after a hospital stay, feeling good enough to attend Sunday Super Bowl in Houston. And he's even agreed to participate in the coin flip. Ivy Kennedy, a big celebrity at Truett McConnell College. He won a chicken nugget eating contest at the Chick-fil-A in Cleveland, Georgia. Their first customer to ever eat 100 nuggets in a single setting. That's a lot of poultry, folks. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. There's one other story that I wanted to tell you before we start just talking about what you're talking about. I get some of the best comments this morning. I've spent a lot of time reading them, and of course, there's no way I can comment on all your comments. I wish I could. You know, I have to tell you, you know, my inbox is just exploding. It really is. It's overwhelming. I have actually, do you want to know? I have 69,746 email. It's just absolutely exploding with news and information and other things. And it's just, it's hard to keep. It's very hard, but I'm trying. I'm trying. This is the point I was making in the first segment, is that the Trump administration is changing a lot of things. It's going to change the way it treats Iran. It's going to change the way it treats the EU. And at home, tremendous changes like that executive order we're expecting, which will protect organizations, people, entities, businesses who have personal convictions on moral issues. We will address that at greater length later when I have had a chance to really look into it more. But here's another one. I've talked to you quite a bit about that VE program, Countering Violent Extremism. I've taken Michael McCall to task and others who are Republican leaders who have really pushed a very wretched, rotten program. The Obama administration had prepared the way to give hundreds of thousands of dollars to organizations to shore up Countering Violent Extremism, but it turns out a lot of them were Muslim organizations like CARE. You know, Countering Violent Extremism, instead of listing the real threat, which for the most part is Islamic radicals in our midst, they're the ones that perpetrate the most violence right now. They, of course, want to add, you know, people like who listen to AFR or American Family Radio, or and that's not an exaggeration, because actually the Southern Poverty Law Center has identified us as a hate group. They actually were able to get that information into training manuals in the Army and started threatening people of the Army. If they had anything to do with AFA, they'd be in trouble. This all happened under the Obama administration. So now the Trump administration is changing everything. Are you ready for this? This is really pretty stunning. They're going to change the Countering Violent Extremism program to specifically target Islam. I kid you not. So they're going to be revamping it. They're going to change the name of it. They've been talking about it. Of course, it's just a few, you know, they've only been in office for less than 2 weeks. So they haven't, you know, but they've already been working on changing that and targeting the real problem that we have in our shores, which is not, you know, white evangelical Christians or Army veterans or whatever else they listed on their list, the Homeland Security of threats. So that is huge. That's huge. And you have to see, that would take a whole show too. And we probably will do one. I think sometimes it might be interesting for you to know who's listening. It is for me. I have to say, you know, I try to prepare for you every day the best I can, spend as much time as I possibly can reading and sorting. And I try to explain it to people that when I, that with the time that I have, I start out with a tremendous amount of information and condense, and try to distill it to an hour of the what I feel are the most important things I can tell you. A lot of things you can learn from other sources. I can't possibly mention everything. It's just not possible, but I try to highlight what I think I understand best and what I actually have insight on because of my own friendships and contacts. And so that's how I do it every day. But then who are you? Who are the people listening? I'm going to just give you an idea. This is Carl. I'm a retired teacher and unequivocally proclaim that there is no hope for America as long as Christians and conservatives allow our children to be indoctrinated into the pagan public schools. I'm not raising funds. My goal is to rescue children. A former teacher, Carl. And this is from Casey. Casey is upset. She says, how dare you say that a woman, that the woman who was raped, I was talking about the Women's March, needed to ask forgiveness and she would be forgiven. I was raped and I do not need to ask for forgiveness for anything. I did not do the march, but I wholeheartedly disagree with all that you stand for. Casey, she said a lot more things than that, but Casey, you totally misunderstood what I said. I did not say that the woman who was raped needed to ask for forgiveness. You didn't hear the whole story. There were a lot more things to her story, and I was talking about women in general, all of us, who have perpetrated stuff, not victims like rape victims, but women who have had sex indiscriminately with lots of men, even though that may seem okay to you because of the culture. It really isn't. It's not God's way. And it just isn't. It is sin. It is sin. And so my point is that when we do things that we are responsible for morally, we need to ask forgiveness. And I think that women who subject themselves to abortion need to ask God's forgiveness. And that's primarily what I was talking about. Sorry you disagree with all that I stand for, but I hope you'll continue to listen, Casey, and to talk to me, because let's talk about this. This is from Aaron. He said, I enjoyed your show this morning. He said, I made a point to get up and listen. My life has been out of sync since November 4th. I was in great pain, underwent emergency surgery to remove a cancerous mass in my colon. I would appreciate your prayers. I'm going to stop right now and ask, Lord, that you be with Aaron. I know Aaron, I've heard from him before. And the news, you know, when your life just stops and your heart skips a beat, when you get news like that, we just pray that you be with Aaron and give him strength. We pray for healing in his body, if that would be your way. But we pray for the greater healing, that part where you transform our hearts and our minds and make us able to withstand all of these horrible things that come our way as long as we are confined to these physical bodies. Give Aaron strength and courage and optimism and protect his family. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. And he goes on to say, he didn't vote for Trump, he said, but I've come to really appreciate and admire the man's strength and commitment. If the Republicans had put forth such a candidate years ago, I think our nation would be in much better shape today. All right, so Aaron, listen, you take care. That's just got to be very devastating. One of my husband's best friends was just diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and it's just devastating. And so, you know, we live in mortal bodies, mortal flesh, and that's part of the resurrection. We lose these bodies that are subject to disease, illness, and aging, and failing, and all of these things, and we shake it off, and we will have new bodies, eternal, and no pain, no tears. And so thank you for writing, Aaron. Okay, so he's another listener. And then this is from Mark. He says, I listen to your show often. I'm not a Christian nor a Republican. But he says, my family leans to the left. And then he talks about how much pressure there is to conform. They were very upset with him for voting for Trump. And how aggressive the left is at not letting you be. So, Mark, listen, thanks for listening. I appreciate it, and I'm honored that you're listening. You know, when I was in Chicago, I had so many listeners who were not Christians. We had the best conversations. You know, we just have, the Bible says, come, let us reason together. I'm a Christian not for no good reason, and I am happy and delighted, thrilled, in fact, to be able to make the case every single time, all day, all the time. I talk about issues, and I think they're important, and I think that all truth is God's truth. That's why I'm comfortable with talking about all the issues and not just about what's in Scripture. But I come to those issues as a truth seeker. Our God is the God of all truth, and He gives wisdom. I was talking to a friend yesterday, really smart guy, who used to be an atheist, and we were just saying how God has ordered our minds. Without him, we would be just as chaotic and confused as anyone. But God brings order to our thinking. And so, Mark, I'm glad you've joined listening. And by God's grace, hopefully we can talk to you more about what it means to take on the mind of Christ and give your life and how wonderfully, powerfully true that story is. This is from a listener. He said, I'm a Brazilian living in the U.S. for the past 26 years. I'm an American citizen, a Christian, with an understanding of the word. And I voted for Donald Trump. He wasn't for his first pick, but he voted for him. You've asked what we thought about Trump's situation. Oh, with the CNN reporter. This is not even a month ago, but I never got a chance to read it to you, and it's really interesting. My Brazilian cousins are all doctors, pastors, teachers. All Christians with good understanding of the word as well. I started noticing their interest in American politics during the election cycle and noticed an extreme hostility towards Trump in Brazil. My Facebook newsfeed, which is usually filled with friends talking about family or sharing prayer requests or victories, suddenly was very hostile towards Trump and very favorable to the woman. Numerous pictures of the Obama family are still going around. These are Christian Brazilians. I've had family arguing with me and others saying that they are praying for us in this time of darkness over the USA. I started investigating why in the world all of these people who are leaders of their churches are so confused. And here's where CNN comes in. The main news outlets of Brazil, Rede Globo, which is one of the largest news outlets in the world, and others, are simply translating CNN into Portuguese. CNN has so much power outside the U.S., whatever CNN says in Brazil, I imagine in other countries as well, is simply accepted as fact by other news agencies. It is translated into other languages and transmitted to the other nation. CNN is building an army of nations against Trump and against the USA. And then she goes on, I pray for your ministry on the radio, and I pray that AFA, AFR, and people like you will still be protected by the Lord for a long time. That's from Alexandra. Thank you, Alexandra. And could I just say that I think her diagnosis is correct. I didn't really think about it as thoroughly as she has laid it out here, but I've told you before, when I've been traveling, I remember especially being in a remote village in Mae Sot, Thailand. I was staying in a hotel room. There were geckos crawling up and down the walls. But there was television, and I was watching television, and the only thing I could get was CNN. And it was amazing what I was hearing. This is CNN International. It was just a constant barrage of propaganda. It was about natural disasters, terrible big business. It was just the themes of the left of anti-Americanism, anti-capitalism, just totally pro in the environmental movement. It was just amazing. And so I think Alexandra is absolutely right about this. So when you are corresponding with your friends who are overseas, or you wonder why people overseas have such hatred and misunderstanding, really, for what's going on here, I think they're right about it being, much of it being laid at the foot of CNN International. This is from Kelsey. Who else is listening? She's Kelsey, attends the University of Houston in Houston, Texas. I want to share a flyer with you that was in the library early this week. Note the statement, how can students in our position as students aid in destabilizing this regime? And this is what the poster says. We will resist a student forum on action under Trump. And it's a hashtag ungovernable 2017. How can students in our position aid in destabilizing this regime? And it goes on and on and on. And she says, I'm extremely thankful. Oh, in a semi-related incident, I had one of my teachers, who was wearing a safety pin, by the way, had us write down which pronoun we'd like to be referred to this semester. I'm extremely thankful for the ministry of AFR and people like you who helped me navigate the lies and left-wing snares that are so prevalent in this day. Please know that there is at least one higher education student whose brain is not washed by liberal lies. Praying for you. And Kelsey actually has a hashtag, at millennials with Sandy. So if you know, if you have some young people and you want to follow that hashtag, that's so kind, Kelsey, and so sweet. At millennials with Sandy. Could I add to that that if you have a college age person in your house, sister, brother, or you are that, two organizations I would recommend highly for you to link up with, and I should actually spend more time with them on this program, and I will do that at by prompting of Kelsey's email here. Campus Reform and Turning Point USA. Campus Reform and Turning Point USA are doing some of the best work to counter what's going on in college campuses. And I recommend what they write and what they say. And I'm going to set this aside and tag it. Adam, remind me, we're going to do an update on what's going on in colleges and universities very soon. And one thing, this is from Cheryl. She says she was talking about my program on gaslighting with Stella Morabito. If you don't know what that is, it's based on a movie in the 30s where a husband tries to make his wife think she's going crazy. And the movie was called Gaslight, and the technique of feeding people a constant misinformation and isolating them and making them feel like they must be crazy because everybody else feels the way you say they feel is called gaslighting. And so Cheryl sent a scripture verse, which I think is great. She says, it's Mark 3:27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. America, as you probably understand, is the strong man, and the devil has been very busy trying to bind the strong man so that in the end he may spoil or plunder his house. And thank God he's still on our side, and we have not been completely bound. And I think she's right about that. I think God has really intervened. But gaslighting, I believe, has been what's been going on this past few years. I got a lot in there. I'm proud of myself. I'm patting myself on the back. You can't see it, but I am. I'm going to go to the phone lines as soon as we return. There are a lot more email that I'd like to share, and I'm going to try to do that too. You think I can? We'll find out. 888-589-8840 is the number. 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hello, I'm Ed Vitagliano, co-host of Today's Issues each weekday morning on American Family Radio. I'm also Executive Vice President of American Family Association, the parent ministry of AFR. I just want to welcome the many new listeners to the AFR family as we have expanded into several new areas over the past 6 months. Who pays for AFR to stay on the air, you might be asking? Well, the answer is simple. AFR depends on our listeners to make financial contributions so that we can keep our radio stations on the air. If you appreciate the news, talk, information, and inspiration that you receive from AFR each day, we ask that you remember us financially when funds allow. You can make a donation at AFR.net or by calling 800-FAMILIES extension 2. That's AFR.net or 800-FAMILIES. Please keep us in your prayers as we continue to impact America for Christ.
This is Steve Conover inviting you to listen to the Friends of Israel Today each week on this station. Here's our host and Bible teacher, Chris Katulka.
Hey everybody, the Friends of Israel Today is a unique radio show that teaches biblical truth for changing times. We do this through Q&A, timely interviews, dramatic readings from the life of Holocaust survivor Zvi Kalischer, and of course, Bible teaching.
To learn more, visit foiradio.org.
Join us for Friends of Israel Today, Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org. or call 337-433-5022.
The Rapid Response Arm of 8 Days of Hope is responding to tornado victims in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. On January 21st, a tornado severely damaged hundreds of homes and killed 4 people. Will you please volunteer to help Hattiesburg residents? Here's 8 Days of Hope director, Steve Tiber.
We need your help today. I mean, it's that simple. We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know, the best sermon I ever heard was the one I saw. We're just there to love others as God commands us. And here's where you and I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
To volunteer to help with Hattiesburg tornado relief, please visit 8daysofhope.com. Financial donations are also needed to support this ministry effort. To give, please visit 8daysofhope.com and pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this devastating tornado. 8 Days of Hope is a nonprofit Christian ministry.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, USA Today and the Washington Post attacked President Trump anew over his effort to stop importing jihadists. This time, the vehicle chosen involved quotes from the Breitbart radio show Stephen Bannon, hosted before signing on as the Trump campaign CEO. They describe our conflict with such enemies' animating ideology, Islam's Sharia. As a regular guest on Steve's program, I often discussed with him the threat posed by Sharia supremacists. He brought to the topic the kind of free-range intellect and unvarnished realism that contributed profoundly to Donald Trump's electoral success and now informs his role as Trump's senior counselor. Ronald Reagan often warned that every generation faces an existential threat to freedom. Messrs. Trump and Bannon have sworn to defend our Constitution against all enemies foreign and domestic and deserve our thanks for correctly understanding and doing their duty against today's threat. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, Sandy Rios back with you. We're going to go to the phones in just a second. One more email I want to share with you. Josh has written me several times. He and his wife are teachers, and they live in the Northeast. I don't know where, but he says, Sandy, on Tuesday's show, you said that the Women's March consisted of decadence, selfishness, of violence, depravity. You know, you just wonder. Some of you, if you just heard reports on the news, you have no idea how vile it really was. He's quoting me. Let me tell you something, Sandy. The Women's March and the protests about Trump's ban of Muslims and refugees from being welcomed into this country of immigrants are the only two things that have given me hope since his inauguration. I attended the Women's March in Boston with my wife. We were both teachers, and we ran into several students and colleagues there, all with their families. It was family-friendly from start to finish. There was not a moment of discomfort, just joy of being together, marching together for a common cause to support women's rights like equal pay, reproductive rights, rights to a clean environment, and freedom from harassment. And then he goes on to talk about women's rights, and he's heard me talk about that I'm not a thrill. I don't get, that's not my thing. I don't believe that there's a problem in this country with women and their rights. And then he goes on to give me the stats. Only two women have ever won the Nobel Prize in physics. Just 4% of Fortune 500 companies are run by women, and on and on. He says, that's not okay. Don't you agree? There needs to be greater representation. I could get sidetracked with answering that, but I want to keep going. There was certainly nothing decadent or selfish about people attending the march in Boston. None of us were paid by George Soros or anyone else. We were and still are quite upset by the tyrannical and authoritarian rule of an anti-intellectual reality TV host who is playing president for the next 4 years. Okay, so then Josh. First of all, Josh, I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're writing to me, too. This is the kind of discussion I actually love. And I wish I could spend a whole show on your email, but I can't. Let me just say this. I'm glad Boston had such a dignified women's march. No vulgar hate, obscene, no vulgar hats or obscene signs. I'm assuming you mean that. No obscene objects that I can't even describe, right? No profanity-laced speeches like we heard in Washington with just honorable teachers honorably protesting how badly women are treated in this country. You know, I was speaking of D.C. because that's not what you described, is not what I saw in D.C. I can't even talk about what I saw in D.C. Danielle wrote me. She was in New Orleans. She said two women were dressed as blank and another has a costume of a blank and blank. You know, things I can't say. That was in New Orleans. I saw the one in Austin, Texas, with the women who had no clothes on at all. I guess Boston was just different. And obviously very honorable, just marching for women's rights in the most respectful, family-friendly way. I hope that's true, Josh. It seems like an aberration, but if that's the case, then good for you. You do have a right to protest what you deeply feel. It's the obscenity that we saw in Washington that I absolutely find abhorrent. So I just have to say, though, still, you think women are mistreated in this culture and neglected, that they're unequal, that they're unable to use their gifts and talents, they're unable to succeed? You know, Josh, I'm a woman. I don't see that. I don't see that. It's really a matter of perspective. You know, and you think that that whole grievance mantra about women is a manifestation of the intellectual position? I have to tell you, I think that that position absolutely defies reality. And I could run through stats, but I don't have time to do that. I just look around and I see women who are doctors, lawyers. I see more women graduating from colleges and universities and law schools than men. I see a lot of women with a lot of privilege. I have women friends who are highly successful doing what they love. I don't see them making less money. In fact, the stats show that women don't make less money. You're watching stats that are completely distorted. The reason that the averages come out that women allegedly make less money is because they drop out of their careers with more frequency. They take longer breaks, and so the averages come out lower. But no woman goes in to apply for a job, or no female doctor gets less money than a male doctor. That's just not true. They don't get less money. So I'd rather be real than try to bend my mind into a pretzel in order to win the favor of so-called intellectuals. It's truth versus reality. I throw my hat in the ring of reality, Josh. I appreciate you writing, and I love the way you think. So write me again, stay listening, and hopefully we can have you should call in sometime and we could talk. All right, let's go to the phones. I promised, and here we go. Let's go to Dave in Texas. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. So what's on your mind, Dave?
Yes. Well, I just thought I'd weigh in on the whole discrimination issue with Trump. And, you know, it seems that's kind of the big issue anymore in our society. It's the big grievous sin. And I think we forget that even in the Bible, we are called to be discriminatory in a way. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to not eat with another non-Christian. And, you know, as a pastor of a church, I have to be very, very careful to make sure that my flock is protected. I have a mandate from God to do that. And, you know, a president has a similar mandate to protect the people of his nation. And if we look at the preamble of the Constitution and why the Constitution was penned for, you know, domestic tranquility and common welfare and common defense and so forth and so on, a president, a Supreme Court has to make good decisions in regards to who or what comes into the country in order to protect and provide for the people. If I knew somebody was going to walk in my church and they subscribed to a doctrine or an ideology that was harmful, that was clearly immoral in terms of an allegiance to take life, I'm certainly going to call my security team and ask them to take care of that issue to protect my flock.
Yeah.
So I just want to throw that in there and just kind of weigh in.
Yeah, Dave, I appreciate your perspective. Let me go back to the first thing you said, though, because you tripped me up a little bit. You think the Bible says that we shouldn't eat with non-Christians? I'm trying to figure out where what that...
Well, no. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about, you know, with such a man, don't even eat. An immoral unbeliever, don't invite him into your home.
Really? You know what? I don't remember Paul saying that. That's why I'm trying to think, scratching my head saying, where is that? Because I thought that the big prohibition was against brothers who had fallen into sin and were not repentant. There was a shunning. But I thought, you know, Jesus was among pagans and sinners. I guess I don't. I'm not tracking with you on that, and I just want to make that clear because I think there are a lot of non-Christians listening. I think we're sort of like to befriend our non-believing friends. It's the believing friends who are totally immoral that I have a lot of trouble with.
Sure. We can go back and check that out. I'm driving. I can't look it up right now.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that because I kind of don't, that part I have a problem with, but I appreciate your perspective, Dave. Thank you very, very much. Let's go to... let's go to number Jim. Jim in Texas. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. And I have a request after my points, if I can get, if you'll let me. But what I told the call screen was about the topic of preference in regard to the selection of immigrants. Idea that we should not select out Muslim terrorists means that we can't prefer Christians to come in as our refugee choices, and that's untrue. The Supreme Court said the American people should prefer Christians as their leaders as opposed to non-Christians. If we can make that choice with regard to our leaders, we can certainly make it with regard to those who will be our future fellow citizens if they come here and become citizens. The idea that we should... welcome all is open borders language, and it needs to be identified as such. And also, back to your point earlier on State Department, here's how we can use Hillary to help clean out the State Department. All those workers at State Department that did not report the known or suspicious actions in her pay-to-play actions and John Kerry's, they violated the law by doing so, and they can be removed from their offices for that.
Okay, well, that's a great idea, Jim. I think in terms of our refugee program, there has always been Andy McCarthy was with me on Monday morning, and there has been a religious test in the sense of persecuted peoples coming in have been given a preference over other kinds of people, people persecuted for their religious faith. So it's really a sort of a straw man to try to compare. Our qualifications for entry to the country. Also, we know that Sharia-compliant Muslims will not embrace American law, American ways. We have every right to say if you are Sharia-compliant, if you place Sharia law above the Constitution, you can't come in. Sharia law is part of Islamic teaching. And so we just have to be real clear about what's at stake here. Jim, thanks a lot. I appreciate your comments. Let's go to Lee in Virginia. Good morning, Lee.
Yeah, good morning, Sandy. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
We are reaping the seeds, and I know you already know this, but for your listeners, we're reaping seeds that were sown back in the 1960s. The people of the free love and kumbaya generation and all that, those that came to their senses, a lot of those people raised families and went into business and things like that. The people that still kept those free love and all these ideas, they went into government and education. And we're in about the third generation of education now, where these kids are being taught this stuff. And we got two different worldviews here. The baby boomers as a whole are, you know, God-fearing, God-honoring, Bible-honoring people. And we've got this other class of people as a whole, not all of them. But, you know, they've got a different worldview.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely, Lee. You know, you probably heard me say that many, many times. I appreciate, yes, that's a very good observation, and it certainly is true. Let's go to Joanne in Texas. This is Texas Morning. Good morning, Joanne.
Hi, Sandy. How are you?
Good. Quickly, Joanne, if you can.
Yes. Do you know anything about this? I've heard these comments now like three times, how, thank God, we've never had a refugee who has committed a crime. And I heard on Janet Rios show, I think it was yesterday.
Janet Mefford? You mean Janet Mefford?
Yes, thank you, thank you. Yeah. That one. That gave specifically four or five examples of refugees that have committed heinous crimes.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's a long list. In fact, the attacker at that mall, where was that? It was out West Coast. He voted in our elections three different times. He is an illegal immigrant, and he stabbed a ton of people at a mall. Can't remember the city. No, that's just one example. That is an absolute lie. There's a long line of refugees who have committed crimes, and some that have, you know, been in the process of planning crimes, maybe that were thwarted. So that's an absolute straw man. Thanks, Joanne. Let's go to Wayne in Michigan. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate your program so much because you add that spiritual depth to it.
Thank you.
My question is about Chris Wallace on this past Sunday. He had some numbers up about immigrants into the country, and they were numbers comparing Christians to Muslims and other religious groups. And it showed that the Christian group wasn't that much less than the other groups. Now, I'm a Trump supporter. I believe in the immigration that you know, he's attempting to try to secure our borders and keep us safe, and I'm all for that. However, I keep hearing that there's many more Christians that aren't being accepted than other religions. And I wondered if you knew anything about those numbers that were posted, if they were not true or some way, you know, slanted in the way they were being reported or something like that?
Yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, we're going to do an entire show on refugees and what's happened on them, talking about the numbers. That'll be on actually a week from tomorrow, if you can remember that. This is my off the cuff. I don't know the numbers right now. When I heard numbers before, under the Obama administration, I know that the refugees, hardly any Christians were coming in. I know that for a fact. How Chris Wallace came and whatever study he cited came to their numbers, I don't know, but we're going to find out. I suspect it's been tampered with. Remember that Chris and Fox, in many cases, are totally pro amnesty, immigration, and so are not trustworthy on that issue. So I'm just telling you that. I don't know what the study is, but we'll find out, Wayne, and we'll talk about it. All right, listen, have a great Thursday. We'll be with you tomorrow. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.